picture here of our family. Two of us are upstairs here and two of us are downstairs. This is last weekend at a wedding. And my wife, Aliza, she's right here. My best friend. Yeah, she's great. Literally, honey, I have no idea what I'd do without you in my life. You're amazing. And then in between us there is Belle, our five-year-old. She's the one that's the Patrick kids. That's her quote. And then we have our two-year-old Clara Jean. She's in my arms there. And so, God has called us to do something that I never thought we would do. I never thought that we would do college campus ministry. It wasn't on my radar. I thought I'd be a youth pastor till I was 95. And a couple of years ago, God made it clear that, hey, I have a change for you. I have a different call in your life to do something different. And I want to show you a picture of our Chi Alpha ministry. Oh, that's 30 for Freedom. Well, we can stay there. We can stay there for a second. So 30 for Freedom. Paul Herkman, I know, shared a couple of things with you last week, or 2 weeks ago, 30 for Freedom is something that God put in our hearts in 2015. And what he has done with it in the last 2 years has blown us away. And I want you guys to know that Watermark, you were one of the leading churches in the entire 30, out of all of 40 ministries and churches that took part, you guys were like in the top two per capita giving, overall giving. You guys crushed it. I even saw McQuaid Boo had the shirt on today, man. He's repping it in the parking lot with his umbrella. That's great. And there are some stories that maybe you've seen on social media or maybe you haven't heard yet. And one of these actually has not been... We haven't given details out yet because I just found out on Sunday as a result of what's happened with 30 for Freedom. So you guys know Venture Expeditions. They actually, their missions partners, Venture Extension in Thailand. And they actually took some of the funds from 30 for Freedom 2015 or 2016, and they set up this security checkpoint along the border. And over the last year, they have stopped, and they know what to identify, they know what to look for, as these people have been trying to be trafficked across the border from Thailand into Burma. They've stopped 53 and saved 53 girls' lives from being trafficked. And you're a part of that. And the cool thing is that's one of our three missions partners. That's only one of our three missions partners. 53 girls. Like, think about this. If those of you who ran a 5K, a half marathon, or 30 miles, or those of you who raised, I talked to someone this morning who was unable to run but raised funds. The funds that you raised and the miles that you ran made a difference in 53 girls' lives in Thailand who are not being trafficked today, and they're saved, and they're in a safe house. And my wife has this incredible opportunity this fall. She's a therapist who actually went to St. Thomas and got her master's in counseling. She actually gets to go to Nepal and train the house moms how to help these girls who have been through the horrific things that they've been through deal with some of the trauma. She gets to go and train the house moms how to like help and minister to these girls. And so I just want to say thank you to you guys for being a part of what God is doing through 30 for Freedom. And I never imagined that year two would be like this. There were over 400 of us in Minnesota. We had 8 different states participate. We had 4 different countries where people were running for 30 for Freedom. And the last 2 years combined, we've seen $248,000 raised to rescue people and help them find restoration in Jesus Christ from sex trafficking. Thank you for being a part of that Watermark. You guys can give it up for yourselves. And one of my favorite stories from this year, we had these 30 for Freedom signs made by John Zeitin from Bayport Printing right here in this area. And these big 30 for Freedom signs with the logo on it. And on Sunday, May 28th, which was actually my birthday, we had some people that were driving through Egan. And one of the passengers said, "What is that 30 thing?" And the driver is a Facebook friend. I don't know if I've ever met her in person, actually. Isn't that funny how that happens? And she goes, "Oh, that's 30 for Freedom." She goes, "Well, what's 30 for Freedom?" She said, "It's a movement to end sex trafficking in our lifetime." Her friend's like, "That's really cool." She's like, "Yeah, it happened yesterday." She said, "It was really cool. I saw it on Facebook." She said, "You know, but true freedom comes from having a relationship with Jesus." And literally led her friend the next day into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because she saw a sign that John Zeitin from Bayport Printing made, and it was on the road. I just want to say our prayers are being answered. Your prayers are being answered. Like I was like, "Lord, could somebody please come to know Jesus as a result of 30 for Freedom here?" Because we know that they're going to come to Christ as they're rescued and stuff like that overseas and with some of our partners. But I was like, could people know Jesus here? And in Eagan, Minnesota, somebody came to know Jesus. And I just want to say, like, God is doing some amazing things. And I want to share some of those testimonies with you today about Chi Alpha and what God's doing through our Chi Alpha ministry at St. Thomas. But my challenge today for all of us as a church, as Watermark Church, is that we would be people who would hear from God, and then we would do it, whatever it is. And I know it's going to be different probably for each of us. When God said, hey, Brent, on your 30th birthday, I want you to run 30 miles and have 30 friends join you and raise $30,000 to rescue people from sex trafficking, I was like, Lord, what do you? Who's going to do that? Who's going to run 30 miles, you know? And we had 48 people last year that said, hey, I'll do it. And we had 75 people say, I'll do a 5K version. And we found out that every 30 seconds, somebody becomes a victim of human trafficking. We're like, well, we have to do something about that. And then $81,000 was raised last year. And I'm like, okay, God. God called us, we moved, and he did more than we could, immeasurably more than we could ever ask for or imagine. I never thought year two would be this. And I think, so the entire time that I'm sharing this morning, I want you to think about is what is God calling you to do? And perhaps it's not what is he calling you to do, perhaps it's something that he's called you to do. And I know sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. We have the fear thing happen, or we have the anxiety thing happen. Like, oh, I can't even think about that, Lord. Maybe it has to do with forgiveness. Maybe it has to do with, I don't know why, and I've had this thought like multiple times, so I think it might be from the Lord. I thought maybe there could, maybe there's someone here at church this morning that maybe God's called you to be a live dead missionary and go to Egypt or go to the Middle East and share the gospel and plant churches. I don't know. It was on my heart several times as I was preparing for this today. But I think sometimes when God calls us, we can have one of two responses. We can say, I have no idea how that's going to work, but I'll do it. Or we can say, nah, not me, Lord, not me. And I want to share some things today with you that I hope encourage your faith from the scriptures, from what's happened this last year at St. Thomas. And then I hope in my prayer is that there would be people from all across this area, all in this room, who would say, I need to hear from God today and I'll do whatever he says. Because I believe that that can have an impact that would last for eternity long. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you for Watermark. I thank you for the Glanzers. I thank you, God, for the staff and these amazing volunteers that are here. And Lord, as we have a few moments to look at your word this morning, to hear some testimonies of the things that you have done, I pray, God, that we would be people that would, number one, hear from you today. You would remind us of something you've called us to do. You would call us to something new today. I pray that you'd give us courageous faith, not just faith, but courageous faith, Lord, that would say, yes, I believe God has called me to do this. I have no idea how it's going to happen, but I'm going to follow in obedience. And I pray that the results, God, we leave it to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And I pray this morning, God, that you would be glorified here in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a woman called the Iron Nun. The Iron Nun. She started doing Ironmans in her 60s. She's in her 80s and continues to do Ironman triathlons. The mantra she says to herself is, God, I'll do my best, and you do the rest, right? If I could sum up my whole message in one phrase, it would be, God, I'll do my best, you do the rest. And so a few years ago, God called us to do this thing called Chi Alpha. If you're not familiar with Chi Alpha, I know I see some Chi Alpha alum in the room and former staff. Really cool to see you guys. And we have some of our staff that's here. Ruthann and Kevin, can you guys just wave? Amazing. Can we give it up for the Mussetters? They're fantastic people. I'll just say this. Every church and ministry and organization in the world, you have to have people that can take a vision and put feet to it, right? So that it actually happens. And Ruthann is that person for our ministry at St. Thomas. This last year, we launched in the fall. And she like looked at all that was happening. She's like, wow, this is really exciting, but you guys need some help like getting some of these detailed things working. And she's like, I'm gonna come and serve. I'm gonna come and serve for a few weeks. I'll actually help you for your first 2 months. And I'm just like, Jesus, thank you so much. We needed a Ruthann. And at fall retreat, that was kind of her like last thing that she had committed to serving with us. And she and Kevin came. And I had been trying so hard. I'm like, oh man, I've been praying. I probably talked too much to you guys about this, but I wanted them to join our staff. I'm like, oh Lord, please, can we have Ruthann on our staff? She would change everything. And at fall retreat, at the end, we were driving home from Lake Geneva, and she called. She said, hey, we'd like to meet you for lunch. So we pulled over, went to the depot, and she said, Brent, we feel like God's calling us to join your staff. And it was one of those surreal moments where someone that we've known for probably 10, 15 years from Cedar Valley Church, we had their son and daughter in our youth ministry. She joined our staff and made our team even better than I think it was. And so this is part of our group here at St. Thomas Chi Alpha. If you're not familiar with Chi Alpha, we're a college campus ministry. If you've heard of Campus Crusade for Christ, we're kind of a sister organization. And we just launched this last fall at the University of St. Thomas. We are the first private university Chi Alpha in the state of Minnesota. And that's part of our squad there. We have the red X on our hands. If you're familiar with the End It movement, it's to end human trafficking. And we are all about hope, the hope of Jesus, and we're all about justice, things like 30 for Freedom. 30 for Freedom is something that we took part in here at St. Thomas. And I just want to share a couple of things with you this morning. God called us to do Chi Alpha, and I said this earlier. It wasn't something that was on our radar. It wasn't something that I was like, man, you know what? When I turn 29, honey, let's join Chi Alpha and become missionaries. That was like not on our radar, right? We just bought a house, our first house. We just had our second baby. It's the worst possible time, humanly speaking, to try and become a missionary. When you have a mortgage and two kids, it's like, no, Lord, what's happening? But he's so faithful, right? When he calls, where God guides, he provides. And we said, God, okay, we'll do our best if you do the rest. And so we spent a year and a half raising a budget, raising funds so that we could have a ministry at St. Thomas and building a team. We said, we want to have the best staff team in the world to lead this ministry. And so we started this fall, and the very first night, Pastor Jarvis was there, and my boss was there. And my boss is Mike Amiot. He's in charge of Chi Alpha for the 7-state region. He said, in my history, 22-year history of being with Chi Alpha, I have never seen a senior pastor come to a launch event of a Chi Alpha ministry. He said, Jarvis Glanzer is a special guy. And I said, Mike, he is amazing. We love Jarvis. And so we have different things that we do on campus. Our Wednesday night services would be our most visible thing we do on campus. And if you think of a service, think of a college ministry service. We have worship, we have the word, we have times to hang out. We go to this place called Scooters. It's a big restaurant on campus. I think we have a picture here where we go and hang out. And you know what? We found that a love language of college students is just buying them food. Well, I'm like, if you guys come hang, we'll buy you some dinner. And so we go hang out at Scooters, which is a restaurant right above where we meet on our campus. It's an absolutely beautiful place. We do small groups that meet throughout the week. We launched 5 small groups this fall, and they're just discipleship groups. We have a picture of one of our women's small groups here and our women's ministry pastor. That's her small group that she would meet with every single week, and she would pour her life and she would into these girls, and she would take them through the scriptures and take them through different things and trainings. And then we do events like Fall Retreat. We have a picture from one of our worship sessions at Fall Retreat. That's from our services on Wednesday night. Fall Retreat at Lake Geneva. We combine with the University of Minnesota Chi Alpha and Cedar Valley Church Young Adult Ministry. And so we have seen in this first year some pretty incredible things. And I know I shared this when I was here in November, but Jill Bumgarner from this church, after I came last summer, she became like our spokesperson in Stillwater. And I actually talked to someone else this morning who also is kind of a Chi Alpha St. Thomas spokesperson. She said, anytime I'd go to a graduation party and see St. Thomas on someone's shirt, she's like, I had to tell him, hey, have you heard of Chi Alpha? Have you met Brent Silkey? They're like, no, I have no idea who that is. She's like, you got to meet him. So she sends a message to this guy named Cooper, and she connects us on Facebook, and I'm like, hey, Cooper, we're going to be at St. Thomas. We're starting this ministry called Chi Alpha. You probably haven't heard of it before. I would love to share about it with you. And so he's like, okay, great. So we met in St. Paul. We met right on Grand Avenue. We went out for lunch, and I just started to share with him story after story about what God had done, preparing us for St. Thomas Chi Alpha, 30 for Freedom. And literally, he just sat there, and he was just like, wait, I can be a part of this? I was like, dude, you can be a part of this. And he was so excited, and we grabbed dessert afterwards, and he was so stoked that, like, the very first Chi Alpha, September 7th, 2016, Cooper comes. He brings his girlfriend who goes to a school in Minneapolis, and that very first night, he responds to Jesus. His very first night, because someone from this church just said, hey, you going to St. Thomas? Have you heard of Chi Alpha? Have you met Brent Silkey? He gave his life to Christ. Heaven will be different now, Joe, because of your investment. Cooper would come and with his girlfriend Paige to our fall retreat. And at Fall Retreat, he came out just like Pastor Jarvis was sharing this morning. Sydney and Megan, your video, so awesome. He said, after the Saturday night service, he goes, Brent, with tears in his eyes, he's like, I really feel like I'm God's calling me to get baptized tonight. This is like October. This is a lake in October in Minnesota. Good heavens. It was like 40 degrees. I was like, Cooper, there would be nothing that would get me in the water except for a baptism tonight. We're doing this thing. So I got in the water. I had another two staff members that got in the water and two small group leaders that got in the water. Five of us went in the water. I don't know why there were so many of us, but we went in the water. We were so excited that we were baptizing our first St. Thomas student to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he was so excited. God is working in his life mightily. And Cooper, that next week, got to share his testimony at Chi Alpha and one of our services. He invites his roommate to come. Guess who gave his life to Christ? His roommate, okay? At our sisterhood event in the fall, his girlfriend came, continued to come, and she gave her life to Christ. How did this happen? Well, God called us to go somewhere, and we said yes. Amazing people like Jill, who were advocates for us, and they said, hey, if you're going to St. Thomas, you got to check out Chi Alpha. There are three people right there in that story, Jill, alone, that your fingerprints are on that. Thank you. Thank you for being part of that. It's emotional for us, you know? There's nothing I'd rather do than tell people about Jesus. And we get to do that on our campus. So those are three stories of people whose lives have been changed. We had something happen our very first. We have a J term, so we have like a month of it's so weird. We have like 30% of our campus is there, and everyone else is gone. In February, we started our second semester officially, and these two girls came to service. And they came to service, and I remember we had this big thing. It was like an invite your friends kind of a thing, and you can win. We didn't tell anyone what the surprise prize was for those who came. One person and a friend were going to win Minnesota Wild tickets. Okay? It's pretty sweet. And these two girls come, and they win the tickets. And that night, Hannah Lee, one of the girls, she received Christ as her Lord and Savior her very first night. And she's like, I'm so stoked that she came. And then she wins the tickets, and I go up to her, and I give her the tickets after service, and I congratulate her. We take a picture. And she goes, February 27th. She goes, that's my birthday. She's like, I don't have any plans for my birthday, but now I do. She sends me a picture, a selfie. She sent it to us from the Wild game on her birthday. And I was like, you on your spiritual birthday won tickets for your actual birthday to go to a Wild game. I could, come on, that's so awesome. And the friend that she went to the Wild game with 2 weeks ago, we were coming home from a staff retreat. She's like, hey, Pastor Brent, can you send me some Bible verses? I'm actually getting water baptized today, this afternoon. And I was like, you're getting baptized today? She goes, yeah, I'm going all in with my faith in Christ. I'm getting baptized. It's going to be at the beach. It's going to be awesome. Excelsior Beach. And I'm like, come on, what is happening? God is doing a work, you know? So in our first year on campus, we saw 54 people respond to the love of Christ for the first time. 54. And I think about this idea of like, if God is calling you to do something, the odds, there's so much at stake that if we would have just the courage to say, okay, God, I have no idea how that's going to happen, and I have no idea, but I trust you because you are my provider, because you are greater, because you are my healer, because you are sovereign and in control, we'll do it. And as we look at this year and what God has done, I just keep thinking about the people that made it happen. And you guys, I shared this when I was here in November, but this church was a huge, huge part. You're one of our partner churches in this ministry. 54 people are now going to heaven because of the investment of this church. From pizza to banners to connections to people, this church has been instrumental for us. And I just want to say on behalf of our staff, I think we have a picture of our staff here. This is our staff team. And so we have, there's obviously me on my tiptoes, don't look too close. I am one of the smallest people on the team. And then two people over from me in the blue shirt is our associate campus pastor, Mitch. He's actually a church planner, amazing. Next to him in the red shirt is he's our men's ministry pastor, Zach Moore. Next to him is Peter Cassida. He is our associate director of Chi Alpha St. Thomas. In the middle there with like the bluish shirt, turquoise color shirt. I don't know colors very well. Whatever. The middle, very middle person is Amanda. She's our women's ministry pastor. We have Ruth Ann in the green shirt next to her, who is our executive assistant. And then we have Coral in the purple sweatshirt, who's our creative director. And God has assembled this team to go to this campus to bring the love of Christ in a very unique way. So we can have services, small groups, retreats, be a part of justice movements like 30 for Freedom, and we cannot do it apart from your support. And I just want to say, on behalf of our staff, of the 54 students that have responded to Christ this year, thank you, Watermark Church, for being in our corner, for being on our team. We love you guys so much. I just want to celebrate. Can we just give it up again? I'm so thankful for you guys. Man. And I think about this idea that I have friends that their whole life long, they've struggled. And their struggle has been, what am I supposed to do? What is God, like the question in a Christian circle is, what is God calling me to do with my life? And they just struggle to figure it out and find their purpose and find their purpose. In a more secular sense, it's like, why am I here, right? What's the purpose of me being on this planet for this time? Like, why am I here today? And I think that's a really valid question. I think that's a question that probably every person struggles with or wrestles through at some point. And I think the cool thing is that what I'm going to show us today from God's word is that it's a relatively simple formula, not easy. Simple, it doesn't necessarily mean easy, but it's a relatively simple formula that if we'll follow this formula, we can actually find fulfillment like we've never found before in serving God. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. And I want to just set the stage for you before we jump in. There's a guy who was, he would be like the equivalent of like a terrorist. He would be like a Jewish terrorist to the Christian church of the first century. He was doctorally educated. He was trained under one of the greatest rabbis of the day, who his grandfather was like the most famous rabbi until Jesus, basically. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. That means he followed the strictest sect of Judaism. He was a citizen of Rome. He had the authority legally. He had everything going for him. And then he heard about this thing called the Way, which is what Christianity was called before. They were called Christians. And he hated it. He said, this is totally not right. And what they're preaching is against what I believe. And I'm gonna make sure that this is ended in my lifetime. Like my mission, one of my missions is to tell people about Jesus and sex trafficking. His mission was to stomp out this thing called the Way, this Christian church. He's like, this is not okay. So he would literally go different places. He would get authority from like the leading priests to go to different places and to take people away who profess Christ, that they were Christians and all these things. And he even would stand at the place where like these Christians were being executed. Like Stephen, when Stephen was stoned, Saul was the one who stood there and watched their coats while Stephen, this first martyr, was stoned and killed. So this is not a guy that you really want to be around. Like, if there was a guy like that alive today, those of us in the room that profess Jesus Christ as our Lord, we would not want to be around this guy because he's trying to kill us, right? He's dragging women and men off to prison. He's doing all these different things. And then something happens. Saul's on his way with the authority of the priest so that he's going to go and he's going to basically do the same kind of stuff and tear down the church again on his way to Damascus. And there's this encounter that he has on the road. And there's this light that flashed around him and all of his colleagues that was so bright that it actually physically blinded him. He like couldn't see. A voice from heaven said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul, literally laying on the ground, unable to see, says, "Lord, Lord, who is it?" And it's Jesus. And Jesus says, "It's me." Jesus tells him to go into the city and to wait there. This powerful, doctorally educated, brilliant man with all the power and all the authority of Rome, gets up, and he's now helpless and blind. What is he going to do now? He literally has to be led by hand into the city, and he goes there, and he's waiting. This is where we pick up in our story. In verse 10 here, it says, "In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias.'" Now think about this. If you were sitting on your couch later today, this afternoon, maybe you have a good lunch and you got that food coma after lunch happening, right? You're sitting there and all of a sudden you hear like the Lord speak your name and then he just like downloads all this stuff that he wants you to do. That's like a very specific vision. In a way, that'd be really cool because sometimes I'm like, it's like, oh God, if you just tell me, I'll do it. If you just tell me, right? We just want to know what the information is. And sometimes it's like, just go here. Just do this. It's these little bits. Ananias gets this very specific chunk of vision from the Lord. It says this: "Ananias, said the Lord. Yes, Lord, he answered. And then the Lord said to him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, did you just call me to go to the terrorist guy's house? You want me to go and place my hands upon a man who wants to place his hands on me in a different way and destroy my life. You want me to go to this house of Simon on Straight Street in the city, and you want me to confront and talk to a man who literally would rather see me dead than see me alive. And you want me to like pray for him in the name of Jesus, right? Think about that. Like, that would be terrifying. And he's like, Lord, I've heard a lot about this man, right? You never had those conversations with God. You're like, well, God, are you sure about that, right? You want me to run how many miles with whom, how many people and raise what, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have those things like, you want us to become missionaries right now in this season of our life? This is the worst time, Lord. He's not like, oh, yeah, you're right. What was I thinking? He never says that, right? He's like, I've heard so many reports about this man and the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. He's like, God, I've heard that this man, that's the guy that was there when Stephen was stoned to death. He watched their coats. He approved of the death of Stephen. He's like, but you want me to pray for this guy? I don't want him to see me. I'd rather have him be blind, right? But God says, no, that's my chosen instrument to bring the message of hope, the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Go, this man is my chosen instrument. And he said, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Verse 17 is crucial. And this is a pivotal point, because God calls us and he speaks to us and he has us do things. He asks us to do things. But this is a pivotal point in this whole text. Then Ananias went. Would we but follow God in obedience? Guys, I know it doesn't make sense. I know when it comes to forgiveness, it doesn't make sense. When someone hurts us, when someone totally hurts our family, forgiveness doesn't make sense. It's not easy. And I just want to say this. I don't know why I feel like I'm supposed to share this. To forgive someone is not to say that what they did was okay. It's not. It's to release a prisoner and find out if that prisoner was you. Forgiveness is not the easy thing, but we are called to it. And there may be people here today that you have been deeply hurt personally or family. And the call of God that he's given to some of us, well, to all of us, but maybe specifically to you, is to forgive. And that is not easy. Then Ananias went. Maybe God's calling you to change professions. He didn't call me to change professions, but he called me surely to change where I was. And I think Sydney or Megan said this in your videos, to be comfortable. I was working at an amazing church. It's my home church still. It's the church where I gave my life to Christ as a freshman in college, as a youth pastor, loving ministry, loving life. And God was like, you're getting comfortable, Brent. Time to make you a missionary, right? And maybe he's not calling you to be a missionary in the same sense, but maybe God is calling somebody here today, or maybe multiple people here today, to do something different. Maybe it's vocational change. I'm not like speaking that over your life. I'm just saying maybe God is like, you have all these things inside. You're like, oh man, if I could just do that, I would just love to do that. And he's like, go and do that. You're like, oh no, I couldn't. I would take a pay cut, or this would happen, or whatever. Like, then Ananias went. Maybe for you, it's this whole idea of maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I've been to church, and I think I resonate a lot with Sydney's story, because I went to church and I grew up going to church. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a parking lot. He was a McQuaid Boo, right? He was out there serving in the parking lot attendance, right? And I went to church my whole life, but I missed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe the call for you today is to enter into that relationship and receive that forgiveness. There's a quote that I love. It says, justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. And that's what Jesus did. He did something that we don't deserve. He died for our sins. The Son of God died for our sins. But he didn't just die. He rose again on the third day that we could have hope, that we could have a hope that it would burn brighter than our lifetime in eternity. And he made a way that we could have a relationship with the living God. And I remember being an 18-year-old kid sitting in the back row of a church, and saying, you know what, that's me. I need that. That was the call that God had for me. Maybe that's the call that God has for you today. I don't know what it is, but check out what Ananias does. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Can you imagine the feeling he had walking through the threshold of that house on Straight Street? Like, I'm nervous for him, and this happened 2,000 years ago, right? He's like, this is a terrorist guy. This is the guy that kills Christians, and he's walking through the entrance of the house, and he goes to Saul, and I think he carefully crafted his words, because listen to what he says. Brother Saul, right? He's like making it a family thing right off the bat, like, Brother Saul, brother, can you hear me? Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. Now, think about that. They haven't talked. The Lord gave him that information, and he comes over to Saul and says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road to Damascus, sent me here that you may receive your sight and that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, and what did he do, Watermark Church, July 30th? He was baptized in water. Come on, somebody. After taking some food, he regained his strength. The crazy thing about this is Ananias was called by God to do something unbelievable, to pray for a terrorist. He went, and he had the courageous faith to step out and do that. He prayed for Saul of Tarsus, who then got baptized, who then got filled with the Holy Spirit. And literally, a majority of our New Testament that we have was written by Saul of Tarsus. Isn't that crazy? The inspired word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that filled Saul when he was when the scales fell from his eyes, wrote most of the New Testament that we have today, that we study, that we preach from, that we live our lives by, because Ananias heard from God and he went. I think about the people from 30 for Freedom. My wife's amazing. She puts up with the crazy ideas and these big, like, hey, I want to run 30 miles and with 30 people and raise all this money. And she's like, okay. If God's called us to do it, let's do it. Hey, I think we're supposed to go and start a Chi Alpha at a private school. It's never happened before in Minnesota's history. Yeah, okay. Well, if God said, then let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if we would assume the same type of role that Ananias did? And whatever God is calling you to do today, you'd say, okay, God, I trust you. I trust you beyond my understanding. I trust you beyond what makes sense. I trust you beyond logic, because I believe that there could be a Saul on the other side of my obedience. I believe there could be a 30 for Freedom and 248,000 and people saved is in a relationship with Christ, and also people rescued out of the horrific nightmare of sex trafficking because we said yes. I believe there could be a campus full of students who would say yes to Jesus because on the other side of obedience. But we don't know what's on the other side until we step out and do it. And that's scary. And most people don't like to have that discomfort. Most people don't like the scary unknown factor. But I'll just say this. If we will step out and be like Ananias, and Ananias went, we will literally see miracles happen. Planting a church in Stillwater, that's stepping out in obedience to what God has called the Glanzers to do. We are all part of that miracle here, sitting here in the hub today. This building is a miracle. If you don't know the story, you should ask the Glanzers something. I've never heard of a gift of a building like this to a church. That is a miracle of God. And heaven will be different because of what happens here in this building, what God will do through the people in this building far after the service is over, when you guys go out and you get to follow God in obedience outside of the walls of the church and be the church. And I just want to say this to you today. I know that there are people. Maybe for the first time you felt like, oh man, I should go on a missions trip. I should go to the Haiti missions trip. I should do these different things. Or maybe I should get baptized. Can I just tell you a testimony? We had a student that came to Alpha. His mom came to Alpha at Cedar Valley when we were youth pastoring. His mom dragged him to youth. He had wanted nothing to do with God. And guess what happened? He found some friends. He met Jesus. And I remember after a Sunday school class, when he came up to me after we talked about baptism, he said, Pastor Brent, I have a friend who would never, he's an atheist, he would never come to church. He would never come to church. But maybe he'd come for my baptism. His name is Meek. I said, Austin, I think it'd be great if you invited Meek to come to your baptism. Well, guess who showed up to his baptism? Meek. Guess who came to youth group that next week? Guess who met Jesus? Meek. Because Austin had the courage to follow the call of God to be baptized in water. And if you're on the fence right now about baptism, I just want to say, like, if you believe in Jesus and you haven't been baptized in water, it is amazing. It is an amazing experience. And you can invite people to come that maybe we would never normally come to a church service. They'll come to watch you be baptized. They'll come to celebrate you. And maybe your obedience, the other side of that, is that they get to come into a family like this family in Watermark Church. Come on. Maybe for the first time they understand, like, they hear your story as you stand on the shore, as you stand on the dock, telling what God has done in your life and the transformation that he's done in your heart, that you have the opportunity to say, that's what Jesus did for me, and he can do that for anybody. And maybe your obedience is to invite somebody who doesn't know Jesus to your baptism on the 30th. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God's calling you to do, and that's where it's a relief for me to not have to have a prophetic word for every person in this building right now, but that we could have a time. I know we're going to have one more song of worship here in just a minute to be able to worship God. And I would just say this. I'll pray for us in a second, but even for you to just sit in your chair and to think, what is God calling me to do? And we don't need to get all mystical about it. I'm like, oh man, I need to like sit here in this right in this spot for 5 hours until I hear from God. I'm not moving until I, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But like, he literally will just speak to you. He'll like put something on your heart. Maybe there's a, as I was talking about this idea of obedience, maybe it's something, maybe a face came to your mind, mind's eye, of someone that you need to reach out to, of someone who's hurting. This is my last thing before I close here. I have a friend who's in ministry in Missouri, and I've never met his daughter. He has five daughters. And one day, one of his daughter's names came to mind. So I started praying for Kelly Grace. I literally had no idea. And I just texted him and said, hey, Scotty, I'm just praying for Kelly Grace today. He goes, my friend, the Lord is using that because she had to stay home from school today because of this specific sickness. He's like, thank you for your obedience. All I'm saying is this. If we will hear from God, he'll speak to us. He'll share something with us. He'll teach us something. And if we'll have the courageous faith to step out in obedience, I don't even know what can happen. All I know is what I've seen at St. Thomas. All I know is what I've seen for 30 for Freedom, what I see here sitting in this church. And like, I think every one of us asks that question, like, God, what do you want for my life? He just wants us to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. God, what do you want me to do with my life? I think sometimes we make it too big. He wants you to be obedient in what he's called you to do today. And then tomorrow, what he's called you to do tomorrow. So I would love just to pray. It'd be an honor just to pray for you guys here before we have a little time of just response and hearing from God. So if you guys could just bow your heads with me and pray. Before I do that, if you can just have every eye closed and every head bowed, just out of respect of the privacy of the person next to you. Man, I just believe there are people here today that you have come to this church, and I just want you to know it's no accident, it's no mistake, it's no coincidence. It was the hand of God that brought you here today. And I believe that he is calling every person to a relationship with himself. And Jesus is the Son of God, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a life without sin. It was absolutely a perfect, spotless life. And then he died on the cross, a criminal's cross, that would take the punishment of all of our sins upon himself. And then he died. And then on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He conquered sin and sickness and death and hell and the grave. He conquered it all. And he did it so that we could have access to God the Father through a relationship with Jesus. And if you're here this morning, just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like if you stood in a garage, doesn't make you a car. But if you're here this morning and you would say, Brent, I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and for the first time, I want to pray with you this morning so that I can start that relationship. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Will you just raise your hand if you want to start a relationship with Jesus today? Come on. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. Awesome. Is there anybody else that would just say, hey, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today? Just raise your hand if that's you. Hallelujah. Church, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I profess that you are my Savior, that you are my Lord. And I ask for your forgiveness. Please lead me every day of my life. I commit to follow you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give it up for those people that responded this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Incredible. He is alive. He is working in this church, and it is fun to be with you guys. What we're going to do during this last song of worship, I'm going to invite you, if you feel like you need to sit and hear from God, great. If you feel like you want to stand and enter into a time of worship, great. But I believe there are some specific things that God is speaking to us today. Maybe it's a new thing, or maybe he's reminding us of something he spoke to us a long time ago. And that if we will have the courageous faith to step out and do it, I believe we will see miracles happen.